You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, many companies and organizations now offer online voting systems for organizations to streamline their elections. You could be electing as a new class president, or you could be choosing the next CEO for your company, or sometimes voting on a crucial company decision. An online voting system is an excellent way to save time and, of course, save you money. In this conversation, we will discuss both the pros and cons of the process and hopefully help you to decide if you should implement this particular system in your own organization. I can tell you now, if you sit in a board, I can tell you it's such a precarious process to be voting, of course, using the manual labor system. And I have the privilege of sitting in one board, so I know how precarious this particular process is. And if you could automate that, it could definitely make our lives better. And I think maybe also we might just explore this in church as well. I don't know. We'll hear from my elder what he thinks about that. Good evening, elder.
Good evening, Tapelo, and good evening to all the listeners, wherever they are.
Ah, how are you today?
I am fine, and I'm fine.
Ah.
I'd say I'm fine. The Lord is great, and He is always giving us blessings.
Ah, fantastic.
And the most important blessing is the blessing of life.
Yes, definitely. We can't take that one for granted. Otherwise, we would not be able to do or even try the things that we try in life. How's been the year so far? This is the first time I think I'm talking to you this year.
This year, yes. The year has been okay.
Yeah.
We thank God. Yes, on your program, this is the first time.
Fantastic. Very excited. And what does the year look like for you?
The year is good. This is my second year here at Heidelberg College of Higher Education.
Yeah.
Teaching. So I think I'm getting into the system, and things seem to be running smoothly for this year, because I got that experience last year.
Yes.
And I can now run with things properly. You know how it is when it is your first year, you learn a lot of things.
So it's difficult.
Here and there. Yeah, but things are shaping up. And also my studies and all those things. Yes,
fantastic.
We are getting there. And the work of God. Yes.
Ah, fantastic. You were saying there that you're busy with assessments. Isn't it a little bit too early for assessments already?
No, it's not. What we do is that when you teach, for example, we started early this month in February.
Yeah.
So whatever you give them, you need to give them, those assessments to test them on what you covered, to keep them busy.
Yeah.
Because if you wait until the end of the semester or mid-semester, then you are in for disaster.
Sure.
You know, there are a lot of distractors, so you need to keep up with the work and make sure that you remind them that they've come for this, and that's what they must focus on. So we do assessments. Yeah, continuously. Yes.
Yeah, no, I think assessments for us who are students are not the nicest things ever. So the fact that you lecturers started very early is just distraughting, I must say.
You know, I gave them a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, because they were all fearing. I told them the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us the spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of self-control, or a sound mind. So I told them, don't fear things, confront, and when things come, confront them.
Yeah.
And after I finished marking, all of them did very well. And
I think
so. We underestimate ourselves a lot, but we are capable as human beings, even in life, the tests of life. We are capable, but we fear a lot.
Yes, I think if we all had lecturers like you, I definitely think we would be acing all our subjects. You know, a lecturer who gives you verses of encouragement, those people never laugh with us in class. So, so we really need lecturers like you.
It's a different test altogether, because it's a Christian college, and that's why we encourage people to come to our college, because
fantastic.
it's we are in with them, you know. You are suffering with them. Of course, you have to be strict and make sure that they follow all the rules, but you have to be a person who is, you know, encouraging them, uplifting them. You know, when they get discouraged, you are there to uplift them. And most of them do very well.
They do very well. Sure, fantastic. Once again, thank you, my elder, for taking your time. And I understand you're very busy, so we won't keep you much longer. Now, we talked about this briefly last week with my colleague when you first introduced the subject of online or digital voting. But for those who may have missed that particular conversation, my elder, what exactly is online voting, and maybe how does it even work and its limitations?
First of all, you know, when I received that topic, I know online is just describing the voting. So the most important thing is voting. So online is just the way, the method of voting.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is voting.
Yeah.
So we need to look at voting. What's the history of voting, actually? Because voting simply means when you are trying to choose, like you are trying to choose a leader.
Yes.
It runs through churches. It runs through our governments. It runs through places of work. Like this year, we are having elections here in South Africa.
Yeah.
Around May, the date was announced. And you can see that people are really, 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 they are uncertain, you know. The 5 years seem to be a very short period of time. So, actually, the history of voting and electronic systems are actually varied. They run across different civilizations, and they involve a lot of things. And they've evolved, actually, over time. Today, we are talking of electronic voting, but it is in many forms, and it has been a method that people use to make decisions. It can be voting for a person. It can be voting for a certain policy that you want to pass. It can be voting for different things. So it can also involve electing leaders and shaping governance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what voting is. And we thank God that you know, he inspired people many, many years ago who actually came up with the system of voting.
Yeah.
And mind you, it started from ancient Greece. You know, that was the place where around 500 BC, that's when voting systems were brought about. But in the Christian world, there was no voting. The Lord was electing people. He appoints people.
Yes.
But they were also casting lots, you know, where they could ask the Lord's opinion through the Holy Spirit. And they just tossed mostly between two people. So that's what was happening in those years. So now today we are looking at electronic voting. We have evolved, my brother, from casting ballots, from maybe floor votings and all those things. We are now talking about e-voting.
Sure.
Now, e-voting can be implemented in various forms.
Yeah.
There is what we call direct recording, and then voting machines. We can use polling stations. We can also use internet voting.
Okay.
And then, these technologies are aiming actually to streamline the voting process, to improve accessibility, to increase efficiency, and potentially enhance the overall integrity, because voting is about integrity, and to really understand the minds of the people, whether they want the system to go on or they want a person to rule them. So it's actually about the mindset of the people and what they want. So I have some 10 points that I prepared to talk about the advantages of voting or e-voting.
Before you get into those,
that we are talking about.
Before you get into those, my elder, you said this is a system that has been around for quite some time. Before you give us those ones, I just wanted to get a sense to say, has the world moved towards that, or it's moving a little bit slower? Because if the systems are around, I mean, we don't seem to be using them quite a lot, or are they used quite a lot in more your private than public spaces?
Okay, you know, The system of voting goes with different governing systems.
Yeah.
But you find that in most cases, yes, voting is becoming popular now
yeah.
because a lot of places are becoming what we call democratic.
Yeah.
But you find that voting has not been a system mostly in Africa which we have been using because we use, you know, chiefdomships and, you know, it is monarchs and the kings, whereby people are born as leaders. They are born into a family that leads. So they just dictate. Even where they sit, it's the king who has his people who talk about things when they see a situation.
Mm.
Then they bring about their resolution. So people just receive.
Mm.
So as the world is becoming more civilized or changing into involving everyone, realizing that everyone is important, so now voting is becoming popular.
Mm.
You find that even in churches, at times voting is not something that people are delighted in. There are a lot of organizations where things are not voted for, but there is a small group of people that give instructions and the way forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you are voting, it means that you are empowered to make decisions. Now, in most cases, in companies, there are a few people that make decisions. Therefore, the majority of the people just receive. If you are in a company where voting involves you, then you must know that you are either important or your company is actually civilized.
Yeah.
So that is the thing. So that's why we haven't moved faster in this line, because voting actually gives the power to the voters. Therefore, many companies are not for that idea. Many systems are not for that idea, because majority of the people are looked upon to be just workers or servants or slaves, you know, the bearers, the laborers. So they don't need to be involved in decision making. So we are coming from that that point of view, whereby if we look into the civilized nations like Greece, you know, 500 BC, this is a long time ago. These people were civilized, which means they really wanted to make their society, you know, great. And that's why they involved everyone.
Yeah.
So in voting, the person who is voting has the power. So that's why the
makes
voting
sense.
Systems are not evolving as fast as other systems.
Sure. That makes a whole lot of sense. And as you are saying that, I'm actually thinking about just the African continent. You realize, maybe that's why this thing has been moving a little bit slow. And I love the fact that when you are given the opportunity to vote, like you said, it means you are empowered by your organization, as opposed to, you know, where things are dictated by. And I think that's quite great and an amazing thing there. You're about to give us the top 10.
Yes. There are advantages and disadvantages of the electronic voting system.
Yes.
First of all, the advantages are, I will be comparing with the manual voting system.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, when you are voting using electronic, it is very, very fast. So the speed of counting, electronic systems can tally votes much faster than manual counting, leading to a quicker election result.
Yes.
So time, very, very important.
Sure.
Unlike when you are casting votes or you take you ask someone, you ask the people to write on pieces of papers, then they go in front. And in most cases, there are a lot of spoiled ballots and things like that, the rigging. But let's talk about speed.
Yeah.
So the speed of counting is very, very important. So in electronic voting, speed is key. That's number one. Number two, e-voting can be more accessible to people, wider range of people, offering features like there are audio instructions.
Yeah.
There are tactile buttons, which means people who may be physically challenged, okay, they can easily vote.
Yeah.
Whether your sight is impaired, whether your speech is impaired, whether you cannot you can talk but you can't move your limbs, there are, you know, apps that one can use. So it is very, very accessible. The accessibility is wider. And e-voting can be done not only in one polling station. It can be done in different places.
Yeah.
People can be scattered around.
Yeah.
They can still vote.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Accessibility, very, very important, which beats the manual systems of voting. Number three, you know, the human beings are prone to make errors.
Yes.
We are very powerful as human beings.
Yes.
But we make a lot of errors. So the automation voting and counting processes do decrease the errors which are associated with manual handling and counting of paper ballots. There are times when people can count wrongly. There are times when they can rig. There are times when, you know, certain things, and there are a lot of spoiled ballots. Like I said,
yeah.
the person may not follow instructions properly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of putting A, B, C, D, they put one, and
sure.
you don't know what that one means.
Yeah.
Instead of putting A or B, they put A and B. So there are a lot of spoiled errors that are done when humans are involved. So e-voting becomes powerful in that regard.
Yeah.
I've given you three.
Yeah.
Let me go to the fourth one. Now, when you talk about voting, here we are talking about also convenience. Internet voting, in particular, allows voters to cast their ballots, like I said, from anywhere,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
So potentially increasing the voter turnout.
Yes.
So when you talk about manual voting, you need to gather at a certain place. So
yeah.
if you are late or you are staying in a place, if it comes to political voting, you are staying in a place, there is a river between your place and the voting place, and the rain pours, the river is flooded, you won't be able to vote. So, but with internet, you know, the coming of internet, you can just acquire the app and then vote, and your vote will count. Number five, electronic systems are very, very important. They can streamline the voting. They reduce the need for physical space.
Yes.
You need to, you know, to arrange for places if you are dealing with thousands of people.
Yeah.
So it becomes very efficient as compared to manual, you know, voting that involve the manual labor. So efficiency. Very, very important. Number six, you save a lot of costs. While initial setup costs are high, but you do it once. You know electronic things. You set up, you do the setup. It takes a long time to do the setups, to make sure that the machines are working, to put the machines in place. But you do it once. Once it is up and running, then it becomes very powerful.
Yeah.
So you save a lot of costs.
Yeah.
E-voting can reduce the costs that are associated with a lot of things, you know, printing. Imagine, you know, you take to the printers, they print those ballot papers.
That's a lot of money.
And deploying to polling stations, you know, hiring the staff that are going to be counting. You know, you hire the security people, you hire whatever. A lot of things are involved. And, you know, when taking the ballot boxes from one place to another, it is another thing.
Yes.
That is on a larger scale when you are voting like parliamentary elections or these are political elections. Also, even in the office setup, it is not easy because you need to print. It will also cost you a lot.
Yeah.
You need to print the ballot papers. You need to arrange, to organize, to make sure that supervisors are there. More people will be involved. Then also when you do the e-voting, there is no paper involved, meaning we are now talking of the environment, you know.
Yeah.
We are reducing a lot of paper, and so it is very, very convenient.
Mm.
Then there is also flexibility. Mm. Electronic systems can easily accommodate multiple languages, you know, and you can encrypt and also make sure that even the native speakers, I mean, you can, for example, if it is a piece of paper, there are a lot of people that you are voting for. Those who are at the bottom may not be advantaged, but electronic, you know, everything will be visible on one page.
Yeah.
You can put as many as many options as possible so that people can vote. That is the flexibility, the flexible part of it. Then security, like I said, you can encrypt so that hacking cannot be can be minimized.
Okay.
And people cannot steal. They cannot rig.
Hmm.
So there is an improvement in security. Then also, you know, there is, you know, accountability.
Hmm.
Auditing becomes easy because you just go to the system. Whatever a person did, that's what you are going to find.
Yeah.
Whereby in manual systems, auditing becomes a problem, which means rigging chances are very, very high.
Mm.
And even in the office setup, you know, it is not, people do not trust the system of paper work. But when you do it electronically, it makes the work easier.
Hmm.
So you can verify, there are audit trails, you know, you can check the system even after many, many years, you know, the voting can be checked.
Yeah.
So these are the 10 advantages of e-voting. Very, very convenient, and it is powerful. It is making our work easier and the choosing of people easier, and the voting for policies easier, Tapelo.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and I've been noting all 10 of them. I want to go back to the one. One of the things that I suppose is raised as a disadvantage for e-voting systems is that there seems to be a lack of transparency. You did touch on it there a little bit, but I want us to go back there because, for example, some people would say with the traditional paper-based voting, for example, the counting can be physically seen, right? So you can see people doing the counting. Yes, there's the risk of, I suppose, human error, like you mentioned earlier on. But with an online system, the whole thing is entirely online and electronic. How safe are we? What if something somewhere happens, someone manages to hack into this thing? How can we be certain that indeed the numbers that we are seeing are the numbers that they should be?
Yes. Yeah, I remember when there were elections in the United States, there was that complaint. Now, this takes me to the disadvantages. There are also 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
The disadvantages, and I'm going to touch on the security risks also.
Okay.
So now, everything, you have to know, Tapelo, that everything that is made by a human being will not be trustworthy completely, because we are humans.
Mm.
There is no system that is secure, you know, as long as it was done by a human being.
Yeah.
It is prone to, you know, to hacking.
Yeah.
Because it is a system. People created it.
Huh.
And it was not created by angels who are with one heart, who are, no, in fact, by angels, I mean unfallen angels.
Yes.
Who are loyal to God, who will be true to say, we make this, it will stick to the policy, and all the concerns will be, you know, the secrets and the security will be adhered to. You find that every system is hackable because it was made by
human
people.
Beings, yes.
So, yes. So security risks are very, very, very important in these systems. And it is one of the disadvantages. These systems are vulnerable to hacking.
Yes.
Even to, you know, malware can be sent to them. and other cyber threats that could compromise election integrity.
Yes.
That's
yes.
why when you go that route, if you are dealing with very important and pertinent issues that are very, very important, you need to make sure that you are covered. The computers that you are using, the network that you are using, there are, you know, all those security features. You test it. You test it here and there. You take to the ethical hackers who can test it. They they test by hacking through it and into it. They see the vulnerabilities. So it's a lot of work. That's why I said when you are setting it up, there is a lot of work that you need to put in.
Yeah.
So security risks, that one we cannot run away from it because it can be hacked into.
Yes.
Number two, there are system failures. Like I said, every system that has been created by human beings is prone to system failures, glitches, software errors. You know, I have a friend of mine who is working for some banks, and you know, they run the systems, the online systems, and every time there are glitches.
Sure.
They are, you know, up every night. They are, you know, making sure that things are okay because there are errors.
Yes.
Anything that is created by us will have errors. So there are also hardware malfunctions that can lead to disruptions, data loss, or incorrect vote tallying, you know, with the coming in of load shedding.
Yes.
Also, it can lead to system failures.
Yeah.
So, number one, security risks. Number two, system failures. Number three. So those are the things to do with system failure and security risk. A person can hack, and like you said, it is not very, very secure because someone you don't know, you can't see the one who's counting. The system is there counting itself, and in most cases, even if you put monitors, they don't even understand the system. There are people. There is that company that has been, you know, where the system has been purchased from or hired from. They are the ones. So if they side with the one part or one party, then you are. They can easily manipulate the system, and they can even clear everything.
Definitely.
And, So, it is just like that. So you need to get into these things by faith. Yeah, so we've talked about security risk, system failure, and then cost implications. Like I said, these things can be very, very costly. Then voter trust. There is a lot of concerns over security and privacy and potential of tampering, like I said. So people do not trust. Mostly if they campaigned and they find that a certain group is, you know, seemingly going to win, and then, or a certain CEO is going to be elected, and then they find that the other person has been elected, and they start asking themselves, what happened? So, yeah, privacy, very, very privacy concerns, voter trust, very, very concerning. So then there is a digital divide. Not all people know how to use the system properly.
Exactly.
So you find that many people may not even know how to use it. So they won't even understand. They may want to vote for person A, but they don't know. They don't understand that thing. You know, it is just like they are in darkness. They cannot even know where to press. Then dependency on electricity, I talked about it, and internet. You know, when you are doing voting by internet or e-voting, you depend on different systems.
Yeah.
There is internet itself. So if your internet provider or the internet system is not strong, there will be failures. You are also depending on the electricity. So electricity can be one way of bringing failure. You are also depending on the hardware, the machines. It can also bring failure. So you find that it is very, very important to be secure. So you need to be very, very careful when you are getting into these things. Then I've talked about privacy concerns. And then legal and regulatory issues. E-voting, especially internet voting, can be complex and time-consuming, because if there is a query, then you need to go in, you need to employ people to ask people who are going to get into the system and check how things were done, and those things take long.
Yeah.
And in most cases, such battles cannot be won because it's very, very difficult to prove that people voted like this. You cannot go back to them and ask them, because privacy issues make people to go the route of e-voting. Therefore, you don't have the right to ask the people, how did you vote? How did you vote?
Yes.
You
know,
a person can tell you that they will vote for A, and then they change their mind, they vote for B. Yes.
Exactly.
Then, so then the other thing, the last one is e-voting is prone for these, what we call cohesion and vote selling, you know? So it is very rampant. It increases the risk of vote selling.
Mm.
So it is very easy to manipulate people, to manipulate things, and to coerce people, you know, through other medias like Twitter, like WhatsApp, and all those. So a person who has a upper hand can easily manipulate. So while electronic voting can offer more efficiency, accessibility, convenience, and the rest, but we must be aware that security concerns are real, privacy concerns are real, failures are real, and many people may not understand the system. So that's it, Tapelo. Otherwise, we are advancing. Maybe in the near future, as we advance and as the systems will be developed and be fine, you know, made fine and streamlined, properly improved, maybe things will be done properly. But as long as we are dealing with human beings, we just need to know that, yes, it is faster, it is good, but there are issues with it also.
Sure. Thank you so much for that, Mild. I know we're out of time, but I want to ask these two questions. The first one being, looking at this type of e-voting system, because it really does sound like very convenient. I'm one of those people that if given the opportunity, I would vote from home. I wouldn't want to leave and go to church and or any other organization for that matter. And I would have you know, preferred such. Is it better to use this system, given the pros and the cons? Is it better to use it if you have a smaller number of people in an organization? So say maybe you are 10, you are 20, as opposed to dealing with a multinational company that has thousands and thousands of people, because then there's the risk of cohesion, vote selling, you know, perhaps if it's a multinational company in different, you know, jurisdictions, there's also the legal and regulatory framework as well that may come into the picture. Is it better to do it with a few people?
Yes, it may be better to do it with a few people, but a system is a system. Even with a few people, you can manipulate the system.
Yeah.
But it is very convenient to deal with a few people, maybe a small company where you want, you know, the accounting to be quick and also to just rubbish out the issues of, you know, vote rigging and campaigning and, you know, transparency. So it's very important that we use it in a small group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but as we are saying, it all goes with trust. You know, if you trust each other and you are dealing with people who are of like minds, and the systems, the policies are the most important things. Then training. People must be trained, you know, before you embark on giving out these systems to your company or wherever. Train the people. Tell them the importance. Tell them the how to use these systems, and let them have trust. Test them, and you know, let them air out their views about the system. If you find that majority would like to go the route of manual, then go for manual.
Sure.
Otherwise, that's how it is. You can see how they battle in the parliament here. it's one of those things. So yeah, human beings and voting, you know, it is something that is new to us.
Yes.
Democracy and the choosing of people by people is something that is new. So we are not yet you.
Yeah.
Because it can, you know, we are used to dictatorship whereby we are just having leaders who are imposed on us.
Yeah.
The directors can just choose this one. They give you, they tell you this is your CEO, this is your what. That's what we are used to.
Yeah.
But with the change of time, it is now we have to learn. But we are learning, and I believe in the near future, everything will be okay. At least there will be minimal problems because we will have mastered the system and mastered the importance of voting.
Yeah, I'm sure with AI and everything else that line, and I know we burden AI with everything, but I'm sure it can come up with a solution to this issue as well. And then finally there, my elder, the issue of digital divide, which I think is quite a very important one and a very key one, especially looking at the African continent as well. We seem to be a bit behind when it comes to technology. How do we digital divide, how do we bring it or reduce it? Do we need to, firstly, before we even implement e-voting, teach people how to use a little bit of these gadgets that they will need?
Yes, the digital divide is real. Digital divide, it runs across Africa. And because we are not just digitally divided, but also there are classes. We are divided in classes, and the divide then follows. The digital divide follows those classes. You find that the people who have access to electronic devices, the people who have access to internet are few. But I can say that things are changing because we have now smartphones almost everywhere. But you find that internet in Africa is very expensive just to access internet.
Yeah.
So that gives us a very, very tough time. So, you know, society is coming out and campaigns are there. Things are becoming a bit better here and there. You can see with the coming of WhatsApp, people now can communicate. They can own each other almost at a minimal cost and things like that. So.
Yeah.
Yes, the digital divide is real. That's why the e-voting will take time to reach out to large numbers in Africa. Even amongst the companies, it is also not very popular. There are a few companies and even churches where e-voting takes place. Even in our church, I have been to many churches. It is manual voting, and it takes weeks and weeks just to finish voting for, you know, 15 members of the church who are being voted as leaders. It takes weeks. People go in, they come out, they do what. But if it was done digitally, people can be in their homes or just in one session. You are in church, you put the names, you do whatever, people vote, it finishes.
So, certainly.
Yes, so the digital divide is very, very real. But we hope and trust, as technology is now getting to the remote areas and people are becoming enlightened, maybe we are going to reach that time when e-voting will be now the thing of the day.
Indeed, indeed. I think with technology advancing, like you're saying, things will get better. I was, I think early this year or late last year, watching one of these banks, I won't mention them, but they had the some of their shareholders who were joining the AGM online, and they had some security measure that can either, you know, verify the person that's the shareholder, and also verify the vote itself, that indeed it was done, you know, fairly. So I suppose technology is advancing indeed, and it's giving us such opportunities, because some of these shareholders are probably doing business somewhere in America, so they can't really come for that particular, but they don't miss the AGM simply because they're not there. So like you're saying, technology is advancing. And some of these risks and cons, perhaps technology will find a way to help us with
those.
Yes,
they are going to be reduced. They are going to be reduced slowly. Just like you said, the coming in of AI.
Yes.
But there is, even with AI, You know that there are issues with impersonification, whereby someone can impersonate you or myself. You know, they do that, my voice, my face, everything. And it is very difficult at the moment to nullify or to find out whether the person who spoke was myself or it was not me. But with the advancement of technology, I think we'll come over that. We'll come over that.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much, my elder. It was a fruitful discussion. Really enjoyed it. And again, we shall connect with you some other time. But thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much, Tapelo. And I thank you for the invitation.
Thank
I also
so
say thank you to the listeners and your team. Thank you.
God bless.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.